Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. It's October 18th, 2024, and Tom Fairbanks, we're finally heading into a weekend offering some decent temperatures.
We're having a decent temperature day today, senor.
I tell you, there's actually some weather out there.
We got some breezes, but they're saying the high is going to be around 80. Yeah. But then, just to make sure that we remember what it's like, we're supposed to get back into the low to mid-90s sometime next week.
Right, exactly. So I was driving in, there's that huge flag just south of the station, and it was full bore out there. And then I drove by a convenience store that had this, like, 15-foot tall Slurpee blow up on the roof, and I thought, yeah, we might lose that one. We'll see. But, yep, some wind out there, and it's getting nicer. Don't worry, folks. Fall is coming. I am Dan Scheer. I'm editor of the Green Valley News, Sabarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, and he's enjoying the Pacific Northwest. I was up that way in August visiting our son, and I know it is a fun and relaxing getaway up there. On Fridays, Bill gives a high five to the Buckmaster Show media partners. Those include my friend Dylan Smith over at TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sabarita Sun, and a new one, Tucson Spotlight. You're going to find all of those and more on his website, BuckmasterShow.com. And remember that you can find the archive of all of Bill's shows, and they are a treasure to this area. You can find them on his website also. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Sabarita Mayor Tom Murphy. Tom, do you like how I say that, Sabarita?
I do. Much better than I do.
You know, you do still struggle.
I do.
And you've been
on
the council a while.
Absolutely.
You know.
I'm an Irish kid from Connecticut, so I don't know if I can ever get rid of that. I still can't roll my R's, so I don't even...
You know, I say it the right way, at least once, so people know I can, and then I revert to Sarita.
Right.
So that's how most of us hear it. If you have a question or comment anytime during the show, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. So officially, welcome Tom Murphy. It's great to have you.
Thank you. I'm always proud to be part of the B team, as we call ourselves when Bill's off traveling and having fun. We get to hold the fort down here, but proud to do it.
We are, one day, we're going to surprise you, and Bill's going to call and say, I'm here and I want you on the show.
There you go.
So were you at the Green Valley Sarita Chamber breakfast yesterday?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so tell me about that. I got an invite at the last minute because they probably didn't really want me to go.
I'm sure they would welcome you at the door. It was at our town council chambers.
I know
so
it was.
I would have been shaking your hand right at the front door.
There we go, and showing me to the parking lot. I know. So who was there? What was this all about?
Yeah,
and I know it wasn't your event. But.
It was not my event because, as I teased, the Green Valley Sarita Chamber, which I like it to be called the Sarita Green Valley Chamber of Commerce, they flip each month between holding it down in Green Valley and then in Sarita, which is at our town hall. And this was both, we had Congressman Siskamani,
great,
who I consider a good friend and obviously a big supporter of his, and also Randy, the CEO and president of the chamber, talking about the various propositions. And really they were, you know, laying them out as here's sort of the pros and here's the cons. They didn't really take official stances on most of them, but they wanted to at least inform, because, you know, fortunately, my early ballot finally arrived. I don't know if we can call it a permanent early ballot.
You know what? No, we can call it as a major screw-up
on the
part of the recorder's office, although I do believe that several people in the county have taken kind of sort of responsibility for it, but I don't care. It's a recorder's job to get it to me on time, and it did not happen.
Absolutely. And this one, as you know, a two-pager front and back.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to really, you know, have to be studious, I would say.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to, you know, and of course I'm involved with politics more so probably than the rest of my family who are voters. So, you know, it takes time to go through all of these, and you have different groups advocating on both sides, and you have advertisements and all of that. So I'm happy it finally arrived, and now I get to spend some time and go through the judges and go through the props and
Exactly. And I like to remind people, if you come up against either a race or a proposition and you're saying, gosh, I just don't know, it's okay to leave that one blank.
Right.
It really is. They will still count your ballot, the ones that have a mark next to it. So a lot of people just feel like they have to mark whatever their political party is or what a friend told them. If you're unsure, and some of this stuff is really arcane on these initiatives.
Yes, and especially how the language is written.
Yes.
You know, so, a yes can sometimes be, you know, helping for what you think it says.
Yes.
And other times a yes actually is a no.
Yes.
In some ways, if that makes sense. But it's, you know, you just have to really be studious. And look into it.
Well, we put out a voting guide, and I'm the one who wrote the stuff on the ballot initiatives. And I will tell you that we turned it into English, and we gave people a little bit of background, like, gosh, why are we voting on this?
Yeah.
And so I sure hope it helps a little bit. But they're tough.
I know some of them are legislatively, pushed to the ballot, and others are citizens'
exactly
initiatives. So sometimes that has some flavor to it.
Exactly. And you got to know, like, yeah, again, why was this even brought up? So.
But other than that, we're having a great time down in Sahuarita. And it was, really good to hear the legislative update from Congressman Siskamani and here. And there was about 42 people, business owners, there. So mm-hmm. It was a nice mix of folks that were, you know, attentive and wanted to learn more.
Well, speaking of the elections, it is encouraging when you see something like we have in the Sahuarita Unified School District school board race. We have 5 candidates and 3 openings, and I know several races in other districts were just canceled for lack of candidates. So it's always nice when you have more than you need.
Except for when I'm on the ballot.
No,
I don't want anybody else.
Well, this is the time to tell people that, oddly enough, the voters of Sahuarita do not choose the mayor.
That is correct.
You ever going to change that?
Well, it's up to the council to change that. Our previous mayor, who I know you knew, Dwayne Bloomberg,
sure,
did a white paper on it, presented it to the council when he was still on the council. And I always speak last and go last, typically. And all of a sudden, I could see the writing on the wall. We went back, and all the council members liked it the way it was. And as you know, it's a two-step process. First, you have to go to the voters and ask if you want a direct election of mayor.
Yep.
And then 2 years later, you would actually have the election but we're by far the largest community in Arizona that still does it. Usually you start small,
right,
and get selected by the council, and then at some point you transition. But I don't see it happening anytime soon. It does, as you know, it kind of keeps you in check. Your head doesn't get too big,
right,
because you wouldn't be taken off the council. But if you went too far astray as the mayor in our community, you can be removed as the mayor, not from the council.
And you stay on the council. So
you stay on the council.
So for people who didn't catch it, the council is elected, and they among themselves will decide on a mayor, which will happen later this year.
Yes, and the vice mayor as well.
And the vice mayor. So that's how it works down there. And I have gone over that in my head many, many times and decided that I like what we have.
So, and I've been the mayor 8 years, so either one, I'm doing a good job, or no one wants it. I'm not sure which. Which is
the answer is yes.
Yeah.
So you are doing a good job. But we have a community that we cover. It is Fort Pierre, South Dakota. It's a little town outside of Pierre, which is the capital, but it's still in the middle of nowhere. Fort Pierre has roughly 2,000 people, maybe a little bit more. They have 3 members of the council, and they are elected by ward, meaning
Oh, wow. So
from a certain area. And I'm thinking 2,000 people, and
right,
you're still
in a small community.
I've never really been able to get a solid answer, even though I know the mayor up there, on boy, why do you do that? And obviously, a ward is like Tucson has to make sure different parts of the city are represented.
And I know some of the wards, I can see it in maybe larger areas, because mm-hmm. some of the wards are as large as some of our towns are, the smaller towns
Absolutely.
In our area. But when you, I can't even imagine in our town having, you know, a ward out of Quail Creek and a ward out of Rancho Sur,
right,
and a ward out of La Cañada.
Too soon.
Too soon. And I don't think it really breeds collaboration,
because
as we get elected at large, all of us, I believe, try to represent the whole community as a whole, not where we live.
And I know on paper that sounds real good, but what if in Rancho Sahuarita is roughly half the town, let's
Correct.
Just call it that, and if you had all 7 council members from Rancho Sahuarita I think you'd have a little bit of an uprising in the
Absolutely.
Town, not liking it.
Absolutely.
So we always check that after the vote, just like, okay, where do these people live? And not that we've ever had a sense that one part of the community was underrepresented, but it was really nice to see that they're
And I think, and as you've seen and covered it, Dan, over all these years, we've always had good representation from the various parts of our community, and I think we've embraced that, and I'm particularly happy about it because I can't be everywhere all the time, so to have these different voices, some have a lot of amenities, some have no amenities, and I know we'll probably touch on the bond later, but
right.
that's where a bond for our recreation facilities comes into play, because some people are saying, you know, no, I don't want it because I have those amenities, but
right.
as the mayor and the council, we have to really take care of all of the needs of all of our community, and that's where that came from.
So we're pushing 40,000 people in Sahuarita. Are we there yet?
No, I think we're somewhere between 38,000. I say 38,000 plus. The census always lags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there was some controversy in how they counted last time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, as the homes are, you know, we're doing between 350 and probably 400 homes
right.
Over the last couple of years and next few years. And as you drive home down on I-19, you see all the desert putting the utilities in for more homes. So we will be over 40,000 before we're actually giving credit
yeah.
for the 40,000, which works a little bit on a high growth area against us because we don't get the state shared revenue as quickly as we're providing the services for those residents.
Exactly. Good point. Next Friday, I'm going to have Carlos Valles on the show. He heads the Sahuarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. They are doing incredible work down there. We know that Carlos is now overseeing the Marana operation also. But, man, they're incredible. What
they really are. And, you know, I always like when the fact that we can train up our people and then help our underperforming communities like Marana. No, I'm teasing. I don't want Mayor Honey calling me. But I do joke with him, you know, about that. And it was at our 2 years ago at the State of the Town when Marana, at the last minute, found out the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona was pulling out mm-hmm. and not funding the Marana Food Bank. And because Carlos was there, in the food bank at the State of the Town, I was able to, you know, put those people together. And in very short order, I think it was like 3 months, they ended up, you know, taking over and supporting that community because all of our communities have those needs. And to suddenly not having that service provided,
exactly.
You know, didn't make, I know, the mayor and council up there. So I couldn't have been more proud to put them together and then help out and have Carlos. And as you know, I'm as proud, not only from the food bank's perspective, but that community resource center.
Yes.
Where they provide those wraparound services and education and upskilling and providing those jobs. I remember going to the ribbon cutting at ours, and there was a woman that for years and years was a pecan processor over at the FICO processing plant, which closed. And probably would have, if it hadn't closed, she probably would have stayed there her whole
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
And then got upskilled training on computers and then coding and now working for a state agency and probably doubled her salary, but certainly the benefits on top of that.
Absolutely.
So those are those proud stories that I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, and just to make it clear, they're still growing pecans in Sahuarita and
yes,
Green Valley.
Yes,
they're
they
not
are.
Processing
They're not
there.
Processing them
yeah.
there. Yes,
so.
They're still in the farming business. Before they convert to approximately 15,000 homes someday, but
right.
Hopefully I'll be playing harps, hopefully above, not below by then, before I actually see that.
Well, and FICO, Green Valley Pecan Company, great community partners.
Yes, absolutely.
So, do a great job out there. Back to the food bank briefly before we go to break. So they are aided by the town. We give them money. Why is that really the business of a town? Why would we do that?
Yeah, well, it's a philosophy. So because we did not have human services support, because a lot of your bigger cities have those types of departments within the auspices, you know, of the town, and we didn't. But we had two great partners: one for utility assistance, Valley Assistance Services, and then the food bank. So as opposed to as we grew and take on these greater needs, we decided to partner you know, with the organizations that I would say have already done it, do it better, and focus on it you know, 100% of their time on a day-to-day basis. So it's a very small portion of our budget, but I think having that safety net, which is always a philosophical discussion on the role of government and how much, we thought as a council that it was better to partner with your organizations that are already doing it, and that's their full focus. So I think it's been a win-win for our community.
Very good. Okay, we're in the midst of our Friday Focus interview with Sahuadita Mayor Tom Murphy. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, which means the mayor needs to get ready for the question I always ask when we talk about Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including that famous Danish Kringle Bill, and so many of us love. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Learn everything you need to know about them, or go to BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And when are we getting one in Sarita?
Well, I'm starting by supporting them.
Yes.
So
I
start with that, and then that and a lot of other suggestions in restaurants and businesses. We're working on all of the above, including that.
Well, people like great breakfast places, and they are one of them, Mona's Danish Bakery. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The extraordinary beauty and craftsmanship of Mexican artisans is yours at Clay and Cloth in Barrio Viejo, featuring gorgeous clay pottery sourced from southern Mexico, including Oaxaca, Puebla, Merida, and Hidalgo. Also discover amazing textiles you won't find anywhere else in Tucson. Clay and Cloth also has an incredible selection of new Dia de los Muertos merchandise. See the selection on Instagram at Mad Max the Dog Shop and visit Clay and Cloth. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 310 South Convent, just south of Cushing.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster, and I'm glad he's off to the great Pacific Northwest enjoying himself. He's posting a few photos and sent me one that was just pretty awesome. It's a beautiful area up there. But I said, Bill, don't move there. Please just don't move there.
And don't send all the weather here.
There
That's
we
what
go.
I'm feeling like we're commiserating with them with some of the weather.
That is, absolutely true. I am with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy, and we're talking about all things, I guess, municipal government and running a town and everything. And the town is, I guess, really entering into the home stretch, because you are asking Sahuarita voters for a $66 million bond. That's a lot of money. What's it going for?
Yes, it is a lot of money. We are going to supplement it out of our reserve fund with an additional $10 million. It is our first foray into this arena. The school district, which you know I served many years on the school board before this, you know, typically has a bond and have M&O overrides to try to supplement, to provide a higher quality of service, I would say, to the community. This is our first attempt at it, because of it being a rapidly growing community, as I touched on earlier, not all of the neighborhoods and areas are served by the same amount of amenities and for growth. So it's seven different pieces of the package. Three are infrastructure related, public works building, police station expansion, and then our sort of expansion, our repurposing of the town hall, mm-hmm. because as you know, we went to four tens Monday through Thursday, trying to add and with some flex schedule in there because of the new way you can actually work with technology. And the other four were in the recreation area, our intergenerational recreation building, expansion on the North Santa Cruz Park with some sports courts, some improvements at Animax Park, which is our original foundation park, as well as really working on expanding our trail system. So,
and how did we come up with, these are the projects we're going to do and these are the ones we're not going to do? Like, because I know at one point a gun range was actually brought up.
Yes.
And basically thumbs down.
Yes. We did actually a lot of surveying of our community, both through online and direct mail. And we were hoping, you know, in this environment to get about 1,000 survey results. And we were very pleased to find out we almost had 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And also it was through a good cross-section of our community. As you'd mentioned, about half of our community is in Rancho Sahuarita. Quail Creek has a large portion of our community as well. So we were happy that first we had feedback from our larger communities, and those are our two more highly amenitized communities. So we thought it was really important to hear them. So we really started kind of with 9. There was a expansion of the dog park, which I thought was going to survey well.
Sure.
And we had the shooting range, which I also thought was going to survey well. So on both of those, actually, I was disappointed. But, you know, as I say, it's not about Tom. It's about what the voters give us feedback on. So we dropped those two from the bond, but not from, you know, the capital improvement plan. So we're still, you know, working on both of those because I think they're both needed. But you have to listen to your voters at the end of the day. And so this is where they landed on these 7 projects. So I think people understand, one, to have good governance, you have to have facilities that can hold your staff and people as you continue to grow. As you know, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary. We mm-hmm. started with 1,800 residents, as you mentioned.
Right.
We're pushing 40,000. So that comes with growth needs, infrastructure needs, and from the recreation side as well. So we listened to the people. That's what they said. And not only what they wanted, but where is the price point?
Mm-hmm.
So we surveyed from, well, I want all this stuff, but I don't want to pay for it.
Right.
Which I know a lot of those people.
Yep.
All the way up to about $40 a month. We sort of had that flexibility. You could vote from 0 to 40. And we found the sweet spot was about 20.
So people are willing to pay an extra $20 a month
for these amenities. That's what the surveying holds. Now, this is a big election, as you know, and I know you're covering it really well. And you're going to have a huge turnout at this election, which, talking to consultants over the years, I think half as many say it's good as it is bad. So
to have a good turnout?
A good turnout, because, as you mentioned earlier, you don't have to always vote for everything, because I think some, to some degree, won't be as informed as other voters will be. But, you know, there's a lot of important elections on this ballot, so I think we're going to have, I'm expecting a high turnout, which I hope bodes well for us. But again, we tried to listen on the projects, and we tried to listen to the sweet spot. So our average assessed value, secondary property tax, is on about a $232,000 home, mm-hmm. which comes into about $17 a month. So we thought, for that type of investment, to enjoy the amenities today, as opposed to pay as you go, save up the money. And as you know, if we talk about saving up the money for 15, 20 years, we won't be talking about a $76 million package. You know, we'd probably, you know, with my service on the RTA, Regional Transportation Authority, we're just seeing prices, obviously, inflation skyrocket.
But that's the other question, though. It's $66 million bond. The town's going to toss in another $10 million. But on that 66, you're paying back, and I know it's a little bit of guesswork here, far more than $66 million, which is what people typically don't understand. Roughly, what do you think we're going to be paying back?
Yeah, over the 25 years, probably depending on the absorption, it'll be, you know, north of $100 million. But, you know, the example I use, it's at today's cost that you're constructing, so you have to take that into account. And I've never bought a house, you know, expensive item, usually your most expensive item. I've never paid cash for a house. So, you know, I don't even want to look at my amortized mortgage, payment over 30 years. Yeah. Why I would want to, and I work to pay off ours before 30 years. So we have also, you know, opportunities to refinance the bond. So yes, there is an interest in there, but again, looking at today's cost of construction, no interest, save up your money. We're probably way over that $100 million to actually build those amenities when it came time, when you saved up the money. So it's kind of a balance.
Have other local municipalities, and I guess I'm going to talk about the Phoenix metro area on down, had success lately with this type of a bond?
You know, that good question. I don't know. I know both Marana and Oro Valley, they didn't use bonding because they have a deeper retail tax base. They would use a half cent. So another way you could do it is increase your sales tax to that. But you have to look at how much it does it raise on a yearly basis and how much are you looking at. So I know Marana did it for their police station, and they're doing it for their recreation center right now. And Oro Valley has used it, but they're both almost twice as old as we are and have a deeper, I would say, tax base. So you could probably they can run those numbers and then see this maybe sunsetting in 7, 8, 9 years, where we don't have as a deep a tax base, taxing base. So then we looked at a general obligation bond to provide those services.
Well, I've been in journalism nearly 40 years, and I cannot remember one time that a tax has sunset.
Yes.
That they always extend them.
Yes.
So just understand, if you're going to approve a tax, it's probably going to be forever. Let me take you back, though, to 2015, when all 99 Pima County bond projects failed.
Yes.
Okay, so if this one doesn't go through, what we did learn from 2015 is that the important stuff still gets done. The Sarita Library is one example of that. And there were some other projects on there that, but at that point, Pima County had thrown everything in there but the kitchen sink, and people said, heck no, this is $800 million.
And they did it
million.
Twice. Yeah. And they tried twice.
Exactly. The 2015 one was, what, $800 million or something, a little bit north of that. And so if this one goes down, for example, the police building expansion, we just need it.
Right.
We know it. And so what would happen?
Well, I think we would end up having, because I have been thinking about it, I am positive, you know, optimistic, cautiously optimistic on it, but we do have that $10 million. So I think we would have to go back and look at where those needs, you know, take those seven projects, prioritize them. We do have the 10 in the bank, and we would have to make some hard decisions. The police expansion is 7 points, like $1 million, I mm-hmm. think. Sports courts and also Animax were about $2 million each. So I can tell you the recreation center would be, you know, wouldn't be yeah. moving forward for sure. But I think what I would want to do and advocate for, and I haven't discussed this with my other council members, is though, you know, say it doesn't pass and the people have spoken, we have the $10 million, so we move forward with what we have within our capabilities to do. And then we would probably have to look at our five-year capital improvement projects and decide what are the most important ones. And as you mentioned, the police station, I would say, would be top of the list. Mm-hmm. Public Works has needed place for their equipment and their offices as we continue to expand. They're spread out throughout the town, sometimes working out of just trucks. So I know it tends to get put at the back of the list because other, you right. know, front-facing yeah. amenities always, you know, take the forefront, but we'd have to tackle that at some point. And so I would want to see us at least investing to show the folks that, well, we weren't given what we were asked for, but we do have this small pot of money. So where's the most effective place to put it?
Right.
For the benefit of the residents.
But I was at a couple of meetings that drew between 1 and 200 people, which is very good turnout down there, and you could describe them with two words, youth sports.
Yes.
And, boy, you forego that then in favor of, gosh, the you know, the sewage plant
right.
or something else like that. People are not going to be happy, but they
got to
understand.
Until their toilets don't flush.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then
right.
that sort of hires up. But absolutely we do have within right. that 10, we do have, you know, some capacity within that. So I think you would see a mixture of infrastructure investment and recreation investment.
Very good. We will be right back with our final segment with Mayor Tom Murphy of Sahuarita on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and we're here with Mayor Tom Murphy of my town, Sahuarita. Been there almost 16 years. Absolutely love it down there.
I'm pushing 20, which is hard to believe.
Isn't that something
else? It is.
I tell you, a beautiful community, but like other people, it's like, okay, I'm here, lock the gate.
Yes.
But we can't do that.
We can't.
It's been discovered, and people are hidden there, and that's not such a bad thing. So I guarantee you the next time you're on the show, we're not going to be talking about election stuff.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
However, since we are just 18 days out, I think, from the election, I want to talk about two props. And the question is going to be, how are these good or not good for Sahuarita? So let me jump in here. Prop 312, that would allow property owners to apply for a property tax refund if their city does not enforce laws and ordinance dealing with such things like illegal encampments, loitering. And this all stems from this really awful situation, years-long situation, really, in Phoenix, surrounding a place called The Zone. And The Zone, for those who don't know, is 15 blocks of drug abuse, homelessness, filth, crime, and pretty much city leaders turned a blind eye to it until they were faced by a lawsuit from business owners. I can imagine that was really frustrating, but 312 is really kind of a reaction to that, where it would be like, if they don't enforce these laws, I can now, as a property owner, apply to have a tax, property tax refund. Is this a good thing?
Yeah, well, you know, I worry about, in general, propositions as a whole, because I think what a lot of people don't realize that this becomes part of the Constitution. And I know government always can feel messy. You know, you have to get through the House and the Senate and have, you know, the governor at state level or president at the federal level. But I think the founders, you know, set it up that way. So you had to come to consensus and work together and all those types of things. So, again, people, I don't always realize when something is put in the Constitution, it's very, very difficult to actually change it. And I know that's was the genesis of it on what I would say maybe is ineffective governance. So I always worry about using the proposition model to fix maybe the ills of certain towns or certain cities or certain sectors, because then the broad brush gets painted upon all of us. So, you know, and how do you, what level of safety and such do you have to prove,
exactly,
you know, to go to the state? And this would come out of probably the state shared revenue that we would get or not get. So you know, who determines, you know, is the town, is the city effective or not? And I worry about that.
But it really was born out of frustration.
Yes.
And what you just said earlier, and I'll say it much less delicately than you did, is that Phoenix screwed up, but why should all of us pay the price?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so this could potentially, I mean, I was just floored to see this make it. And this is one of those things where people are going to probably say, I don't quite understand it, and I'm going to vote no,
right?
Because that's what they do when they don't understand things. But there were an awful lot of people and an awful lot of media coverage on The Zone,
right,
and Phoenix's lack of
and I understand from a business community's reaction that, you know, governance is supposed to provide the foundational things like safety, right?
They blew it.
And they did.
We can say it. It's just blew it. We know a young lady who has to walk by that place every day for work, and we were really nervous about it. Here we are two and a half hours away, and we were really, really nervous about it. And we should say that, again, that it was finally cleaned up, cleaned out, but it was there forever.
Right. And I know there has been businesses in Tucson, for example, that have had to replace windows, you know, on numerous occasions.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
And that adds up. And, you know, that adds to the, usually that's passed on to the consumer, right? If you're, especially a restaurant, which is more operating on very thin margins, and you're having to replace all of these, you know, windows because you're not getting your foundational protections that are due to you by your local government. I understand the knee-jerk reaction. I just worry about the long-term consequences of it.
Well, and so I think the problem has been identified correctly. I don't know that this is necessarily the solution, but since you did it, we'll bring it down to Tucson businesses who, you know, people, they could see people pulling up to go to the business, see whatever they were seeing, and it could have been people outside, panhandlers, drug deals going on, needles on the in the parking lot, smashed windows, and they just get back in their car and they leave.
Right.
And this is not uncommon in the Tucson area.
Right. And that's where you end up, you know, getting these types of initiatives because out of the frustration of government not doing their foundational job, this is what you end up with. But I worry about it, you know, as a statewide fix, sort of the baby with the bathwater type of environment, as opposed to holding government accountable, right? And if I'm not doing my job, you, Dan Scherer, get to, you know,
vote no.
Vote no.
On you.
And on me, specifically.
Well, what's interesting, and you're going to have to remind me of some of the details, but I'm just going to throw it out there because it just came to mind. But Sarita, I think within the last year, voted that to not allow any sort of camping on town property. Am I right?
Yes. And also, we put signs up in the median because, you know, you've seen panhandling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very delicate constitutional balance because when you're in the right of way and public access, you're allowed to be there. So, you know, kudos to the county because that's when I learned about it. You know, say no to panhandling, so to speak, with this red circle.
Sure.
The cross mark. And support your community nonprofits, you know,
right,
that bring bear to help if they so choose.
So really you're just trying to get in front of some of the issues.
Yes.
And other people would say, gosh, that's really bad. They need to sleep somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, just not on town property.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not building a second city, you know, within a city where you have potential liability. And are you helping them at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Because really it's the breaking that cycle which put them there, whether it's mental health or fentanyl and such.
Exactly. It is, boy, and that having served on a grand jury recently, and you realize how many crimes in this community, felonies, are tied back to tied back to drug use.
Yes, absolutely.
And then when that happens, it is so frustrating. So what is the answer? Is it incarceration? Is it rehabilitation? Is it something in the middle? We're going to be talking about this forever.
Forever, especially the types of drugs nowadays, you know, back in my, you know, early days in, you know, high school, not that I didn't inhale, by the way. But, you know, whether it be marijuana or anything else nowadays is just so totally different than, you know, and it literally is poisoning. I mean, fentanyl,
absolutely.
You're poisoning the residents, which goes to the extension of, you know, international.
Yes,
trafficking and cross-border relationships and all of the above. But
yeah,
it's very complicated. But I think turning a blind eye to it is not the proper thing. You just have to find out what's the various ways you can fix it.
Okay, then on to Prop 314, which is very popular with voters, according to the polling I've seen, but is not popular among law enforcement agencies, and it would allow local and state police to arrest illegal immigrants, among other things. There's a lot more to it than that. Is this good for Sarita?
Well, you know, as you said earlier, you know, there's so many things that fall on our police department. To me, the easy fix is having the federal government, back to good governance, doing their job. And we wouldn't even be having this discussion for the most part if you just, the feds honestly enforce the laws that are on the books. But because we have, you know, people obviously pouring across and, you know, and they're not all good actors. They're not all bad actors either. So to have a really open discussion on, you know, to me, it's you have trade and you got to have that, you know, that discussion. There are good folks that want to come over and having a better legal visa program, whether mm-hmm. it be work visa. I know a one of the ladies that works for my wife, their family has been working on, I think it was 20 years to get legal citizenship.
Wow.
And you, I think of them watching you just walk across the border, turn yourself into a border patrol agent, right? And then you get a ticket somewhere across the country. And I'm thinking, you know, it shouldn't take 20 years and you shouldn't be able to just walk across the border.
Right. And a 314, again, is one of those ballot measures probably born out of frustration.
Right.
If it passes, towns are certainly not required to become, in essence, federal agents.
Right.
But they just would have that option. Is that kind of it?
Yes. That's the way I understand it. I actually haven't had, because it hasn't passed or failed yet, that discussion. But as you know, we do participate in Stone Garden with the federal agencies trying to stop drug addiction, interdiction into the community. So I think we would probably be at least asking those questions if the voters, again, you know, it's up to the voters to decide. And if they choose that out of frustration and out of fear, probably of safety, that we would be looking at, we'd have to have a discussion probably as a council on
sure.
how we would direct our police department and to what degree.
Okay, we have just about a minute left, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. RTA, which is now going to be RTA Next, will likely come up next year for a vote on whether to continue a half-cent countywide sales tax to fund transportation projects across Pima County. It's been in place since 2006, coming
correct.
Up for renewal, and it has supporters and detractors who won't get into all of that, but would continuing the tax for 20 more years be good for Sarita? Are we getting anything out of this?
Well, we would be getting something out of it. I think it's still yet to be determined, the cost-benefit. To the town, but what I've tried to always do is think regionally. So I would definitely say the first RTA was not only good for the town because Sal Rita Road improvement, mm-hmm. you probably remember when it was
sure.
one lane each way.
Oh, yeah.
And having that as an improvement, I think, has actually helped. But more importantly, I think it is the $100 million a year that comes into our region each year, especially during the Great Recession. I can't imagine what lack of infrastructure investment
sure.
would look like without that. But it's still yet, I think it's yet to be determined whether our council would support it in the grand scheme of things, depending
okay.
on how you know, the draft is tweaked
right.
before it comes back to the regional council. And that's where we are. It's out to the voters,
okay.
or the citizens, I would say, not voters yet, for input.
Okay, very good. I want to thank Mayor Tom Murphy for joining us. The time goes way too fast.
It does. Maybe you have to send Bill away a little bit more there. Often and get back on the air.
Or you can have a two-hour show. How's
there you
that?
Go.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to be right back with Weekend Watch to help you plan your next couple of days. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the pros over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
In 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year regional transportation plan and half-cent sales tax. They are both effective through June 30th, 2026.
For the region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, the RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
It's time for Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your next couple of days. Presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and a lot more. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. They're a great place. Had an employee just head on over there to cool off, and she and her husband just absolutely loved it. We're going to get our weekend roadmap from the crew over at 101.7 The Drive, a station I listen to often, especially when I just want to relax a little bit. Welcome to Ken Carr. You guys do great work over there.
Appreciate that.
Good.
It's a fun job.
It's a fun job. Most
it
of the time.
It is a fun job, playing music that people love, and I appreciate that.
It's just if it weren't for the whole management thing, our lives would be so much easier. Than yeah.
We can't do everything we want. Come on.
Okay.
All right, some things this weekend maybe you might want to check out. The weather is going to be low 70s tomorrow.
Nice.
So Tucson Classics Car Show, that's actually probably the most comfortable weather you could imagine. And there's over 400 antique, sport, classic, and hot rod cars. Now, the Drive is giving away a 1973 Volkswagen Beetle. And we're bringing the car to the car show. So if you're out there, watch out for a beautiful yellow Volkswagen Beetle. Doesn't have a top. It's a custom, and it's just the most fun. But check that out if you're there. It's 10 to 4 tomorrow at the Gregory School, 3231 North Craycroft. Let's see what else. This is something that's kind of silly fun. Brawl in the Fall. It's a wrestling event.
Oh, I thought it was the election. No, it is.
That's a different conversation, right? it's wrestling. If you want to bring the kids, grandkids, kids always love wrestling. Think of it in terms of kind of an event like a WWE type of thing. And I'm hosting, believe it or not.
I do believe it.
Am everywhere.
Yeah.
Doors open at 5, bells at 6 at the VFW post at 5320 East Bellevue, and tickets are $15 for adults, and under 10 is $8, and that should be a lot of fun. If you want to do a little driving, El Dorado Days is happening in Tombstone. Have you ever been to a Tombstone, one of the reenactments?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely love it out there. In fact, mañana I am going to Mezcal, which is an Old West movie site, not too terribly far from Tombstone, but great place out there.
And the vibe is just fun. And people who put on the reenactments are really into it, so it's really good entertainment. They have street entertainment near the actual OK Corral, fashion shows, live music, a family-oriented carnival, and a parade coming up on Sunday. Let's see. Boo at the Zoo, Reed Park Zoo. Now, a lot of things that happen for Halloween are a little scary for kids, right?
Right.
But this is more zoo and less boo.
Oh, good.
So they kind of platform it. And an enjoyable but not too frightening celebration. Show off your boo-tiful costumes. See what I did there?
Yeah, boo. See what I did there?
Boo. Trick or treat through the zoo. Plenty of photo ops. And it's a lot of fun. And that's Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays this weekend and next weekend. And also the Loft Film Festival. This film festival's time of year is right about now.
Absolutely. Yep.
And the Loft is doing theirs. And that kicked off a couple days ago and runs through Thursday, the 24th. And they showcase independent foreign and classic films. So there's a few things that you can check out this weekend in the Tucson area and in Southern Arizona.
Well, thank you, Ken Carr. And I will tell you, the Loft always does it right.
Yes, they do. They're getting bigger, too. They're building on. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So, hey, that classic car show had me. They love those down in Green Valley and South Wadita. We always have a big one every winter. So looking forward to that. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Our interview was with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy, and that's going to be up on Bill's site here just a few hours, and you can listen to it again or ship it off to somebody. I think he said some very interesting things. The Buckmaster Show radio program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer and engineers who have helped us through this. Tom Fairbanks, thank you again for today, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. You have a great weekend. It's going to be beautiful out there.